For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, December the 27th, 2001. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
I don't know where all the men went, but they all disappeared. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you, and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us, Lord. Lord, we come to you now, Lord Jesus. Let your anointing come down. Let your anointing come. Come, Lord Jesus. Just come. Anoint this, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let your anointed word come forth, man. Go down into the hearts and bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. And Satan, we speak to you. You shall not steal this word. This word is falling on good soil. It will bear crop to the glory of God. We just thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's folks said,
amen.
Amen. I wanted to talk to you today about what comes out of your mouth. We spoke at the men's meeting. We spoke about curses that have come down through the ancestors, from the sins of the ancestors. And we spoke somewhat about spoken curses and accepting of curses. But I want to talk to you about the Word. Now, you know, God is more interested than what comes out of your mouth. We're fasting today, you know. We're not eating, we're not putting anything in our mouth. But the Hebrew word for fast means to put a guard on your mouth. It means to shut your mouth. That's what it means. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Put a guard on your mouth. God is much more interested about what comes out of your mouth than what comes in, goes in there. For he said, you know, what goes in the mouth comes out in the drop. But what comes out of a man is what defiles him. And on the day of, in Matthew 10:28, it says, on the day of judgment, you're going to answer for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. Now, that sounds sort of terrifying, doesn't it? I said, Lord, how does that work? And I was praying about it one night, and God showed me in a vision the great white throne. As a matter of fact, I was standing there, and he asked me about some things I had said. And I said, you know, I don't remember that. And you see, it says when you stand there that the books will be opened. Now, the book, you see, is not, this is what we think of as a book. But the word translated book in the Revelation is a scroll. In the Greek, it means scroll. And what he showed me was this big scroll of magnetic tape. And there on the big TV screen in the heavens, I saw myself uttering these words. God said, run that tape by for him again. I was guilty. And God has got everything recorded that you've ever said. But, you know, Glenn has got a machine in there that when he gets through with these tapes over here, these big tapes, he runs that tape over that machine. It's called a bulk eraser. And it will erase everything on that tape. Now, God's bulk eraser is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you truly repent, repentance is a gift from God. It means to be convicted and turn away and not do it again. Godly sorrow brings repentance. Worldly sorrow brings death. Godly sorrow brings repentance, which leads to salvation, to so-so. Now, that word is translated salvation, but it's also the word that was used mostly in We use about a third of the time in Jesus' hearing, healing ministry. When he said, and they were made whole that very hour. That word is so-so. S-O-Z-O. Now, I was told once I was pronouncing it wrong. But that the But if you look up that word in Strong's Concordance, the primary definition is deliverance. Deliverance. Deliverance, healing, salvation. Those are the orders. So, repentance, true repentance from God will bring deliverance. When you, and I'll give you the ability to turn from your sin. If you have a sin that has bound you, that you can't turn away from, and you come to God, true repentance will allow you to be delivered from that sin, to break that bondage and set you free. But it's a gift from God. It's a miracle. A deliverance from an evil spirit is a miracle. Jesus said so. And so when you've gone as far as you can, and you need some help, and you come to a godly person who leads you and breaks the curses over your life and leads you in a prayer of repentance to turn, then you can get deliverance. Deliverance is for desperate people. People who want to change their lives, want to turn and walk away from it, not do it anymore. It's not to make you feel a little bit better, so you can go out and do and live like you want to. Because if you do that, you see, you'll be back at the next camp meeting. It all came back. Only it's worse. I see people like that, unfortunately. And I minister in other places besides him, and I see people here, and I see people in other places, and they sort of follow me around. They won't pray again. That's about the fourth time, man. Those demons are hard to come out. You see, God's being mocked. You know, read Hebrews chapter 10. It says, if you continue in sin after you receive the knowledge of the truth, you have insulted God. Praise God. But I certainly want to get into that. Now, today I'm going to talk to you about what comes out of your mouth. Now, first I want to look at some verses. Let's look at 2 Timothy first, 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, or discipline if you want to have the... Now, what Scripture is he talking about here? Paul is writing this to Timothy. What Scripture is he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. He's not talking about the letters that he's written. Peter considered what Paul wrote Scripture. He said so. He said, foolish men twist what Paul has said as they do the other Scriptures. But the Old Testament is inspired by God. Okay? Now let's look at Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope. Okay? Paul says that the Old Testament was written so that we might have hope. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. And here Paul has laid out some things that incur the wrath of God. Idolatry, fornication, murmuring, complaining. I went over these once with a group of Christians, and they were talking about God, and they said, will God ever get mad? I said, well, sure he gets mad. So I opened and read the first three, 10 verses of Corinthians and went over what it meant. And one of the old boys looked at me and said, you know what that tells me, Bill? What? God doesn't like a complainer. Only he used another word started with a B. I said, that's right. He does not like complaining and grumbling. But let's see. It says, these things, he says, now, verse 11, now all these things happen to them as examples. So they were written for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Now, why do I read you all these verses? To establish to you that the Old Testament is Scripture that is written for your instruction and for your reproof. Now, I meet people that say, well, I'm a New Testament person. Show it to me in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed.
Yes, that's it.
And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
What was prophesied in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And if you do not study the Old Testament, you can't hope to understand the New. You get Christians who have no knowledge of the Old Testament. And they haven't, except the 23rd Psalm. You know, that's the Good Shepherd Psalm. And everybody knows that that's inspired of God. God forgive me, Lord. And consequently, they have no understanding. I joined a Bible group once, and we were going through Hebrews. And I began explaining to them about the priesthood, about Aaron and the priesthood and Melchizedek and how this was different from Aaron and what these scriptures meant. And they looked at me and said, how do you know all this? I said, well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. I said, it's in the Bible? That's back in the Old Testament. That don't count. I said, you cannot hope to understand this unless you understand the Old Testament. I said, I've explained it to you out of the Old Testament. It makes sense to you now. I said, unless you know the Old Testament, you can't hope to understand Hebrews. But, you know, it was like talking to that wall over there. Praise God. Well, now we're going to talk about this power of the spoken word. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 8:21. It sure ain't 8. 18. Thank you. Didn't look right. 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death is in the power of the tongue. I've seen in my lifetime, I have seen two people die from curses that I knew. They were put on by a professional witch doctor. I didn't know anything about deliverance then, but I knew about the voodoo and the hoodoo. And when I was a little boy, I saw Harry S., the witch doctor, point the box at this girl. It was a cigar box. They had a bunch of rattlesnake fangs in it, and had a whole bunch of other stuff. I didn't know what it was. Harry had showed me inside of it once, and he pointed the box at her, and he spoke what I thought was some sort of foreign language, demonic tongues. That girl died about a week later. She just sort of shriveled up and started vomiting and rolled over and went into fetal position, and in a week she's dead. Then, when I was a physician, I went to my hometown, and a friend of mine asked me if I would go by the hospital and look at this young girl because he couldn't figure out what was going on with her, and she was dying. And so I went by, and I recognized it because I had seen this years and years ago. So I went to the family, and I sat down and I talked to them. And they acknowledged that the hoodoo had put a curse on them. But they was afraid to tell the doctor because the doctor think they's crazy. But I was a doctor coming in and asked them about the hoodoo. And so they shared with me. I said, well, can't you pay him to take it off? That's the only way I knew. You know, I wasn't saved. I didn't know anything. I was just a heathen doctor like my friend. I said, go pay him, take it off, so he wants too much money. That child died. And they posted her and checked her for toxicology and everything. They couldn't find anything wrong with it, except she just died. I've seen two people die. That was a long time ago. That was 50 years ago now, almost. And the words you speak can bring death. Now, I will show you where it says that in the Scripture. God, I better hurry up. I'll never get through this. Okay. Now, the mouth or the tongue is the launching pad for either curses or blessings. Let's look in James chapter 3. James chapter 3 verse 1 starts talking about the tongue. Starts off saying that if you're going to be a teacher, be careful because you come under stricter judgment. But then he talks about the tongue and how the tongue is able to turn the whole body. And it's a little member and it starts a great fire. And every bird, a beast, a reptile, a creature of the sea can be, that's been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. The Holy Spirit can. Yeah. Tongue is the most unruly member of your body. Now look at verse 9. Verse 8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be.
Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter out of the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both fresh and salt water. What's he saying there is that out of your mouth you can bless God or you can curse your brethren. It ought not be that way, but it is. And you will be judged by every idle thing that comes out of your mouth, whether you're blessing God or you're cursing your brother. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 29. And this is general instruction on living that Paul has given to the people who live at Ephesus. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary building up, that it might impart grace to the hearer. Everybody says, don't let anything come out of your mouth that's not going to impart grace to somebody and build them up. Okay? Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness or rebellion, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it goes on and says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, just as Christ Jesus forgave you. But notice that if you speak evil of your neighbor, you will grieve the Holy Spirit. When you run off at the mouth, remember, Proverbs says, in a multitude of words there is sin. Therefore, James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. In a multitude of words there is sin. So choose your words carefully, and only that this edification. And if you found yourself getting angry and mad, sit down and say, oh God, give me grace. Oh God, forgive them. Praise your name. And start praising God. Start praising God. And say, I refuse to allow anger and clamor and hostility and hate come out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me control this tongue of mine. And if anything else, you flee from it. You turn and walk away. Turn and walk away from it. Because you don't want that kind of talk coming out of your mouth because you grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens when you are rebellious and you grieve Him? Isaiah says He will turn and fight against you. That's what it says in Isaiah. Y'all look at me like I got two heads up here. Let's turn to Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah, I think it's 60. Yeah. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, verse 10. And he's talking about the people in Israel. He said, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. It's a price of rebellion. Now, at what point he will do that? God is amazingly long-suffering. He loves you. He rejoices over you. He sings and dances over you. And He rejoices to do you good. And He is amazingly long-suffering. But there comes a point when He will chastise you. There comes a point when He will turn and chastise you, and you'll think He's your enemy if you persist in rebellion. And so, you can speak. You have two fountains. One is the Holy Spirit. It's when you speak forth in the Holy Spirit. And the other is when you speak forth in the soul. Those are the two types of talk that come out of you. One is walking in the Holy Spirit. And whatever you say when you're walking in the Holy Spirit is going to come to pass. Isaiah 55:11 says, my word that departs from my mouth shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which it sent forth to do. And if you're speaking it at the direction of the Holy Spirit, it's the same as Him speaking it from Himself. That His word has gone forth out of you. The word of the Lord. This will happen. Numbers 23:19 says, would I say it and not do it? He said, I am the Lord, I do not change. Would I say it and not do it? That's Numbers 23:19. He says, if He says it, He's going to do it. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, he says, if we pray according to the will of God, we know that he hears us, and we know that we'll have what we ask for. Therefore, you're speaking in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you a place here that has always puzzled me, but I think this... Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is an interesting passage here. This is the chapter on spiritual gifts. And it says, verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. You cannot speak in the Holy Spirit and curse Jesus. The anointing will leave you the minute that thought enters your mind that you want to do that. The anointing will just go. You can't speak that in the Holy Spirit. You can't. It won't come out, not in the Spirit. Okay? Now what's the next verse say? The rest of that verse say, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I won't give you the Bill and all interpretation of that verse, the way I understand that latter half. But this is my interpretation of it. You take it for what it's worth. What that means is that you can't say Jesus is Lord and have it have any power except by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Demons can say, I've had demons say Jesus is Lord. Well, I tell you, when a demon says Jesus is Lord, it don't have no spiritual power behind it, not the Holy Spirit behind it.
Right.
But when you speak it out that Jesus is Lord in the Spirit, it has power. Do you understand that? Okay. And I think that's what that meant. I've always wondered, and that's the way God showed it to me. Now, that's Bill and Earl's interpretation. I can't give you another scripture for it, and I qualify it with that statement, okay? And so, you can have the Holy Spirit speaking in the Holy Spirit. Paul says here that you can speak it in the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, you can speak it soulish. Now, what is a soulish? Let's look at James chapter 3, verse 14. And we write down below where we stopped. We talked about the two fountains. Verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct his works are done in meekness and wisdom. Okay? Of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy, self-seeking, or selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. Now, if you've got a standard King James, it says sensual. You see that word sensual? The Greek is soulish. There is no English word soulish. If you look up soulish in the dictionary, unless they've added it, you won't find it. You'll find it in the Greek, you'll find it in the Latin, but you won't find it in English. And so wherever that word appears, it is translated sensual or natural. Which says a natural man does not perceive the things of God. You remember that?
That's right.
That's a soulish man, a man who's living in his own soul, a man who's living for himself, a man's interested only in self, in him, me, myself, and I. That's a great Antichrist spirit, you know. Me, myself, and I, that's the Antichrist Trinity.
Right.
Me and mine. That's right, Lord. I want it for me and mine. Pray for me and mine. I want this for me and this for mine and for my this, just this for me and mine, Lord. I don't want everybody else, and they got to worry about themselves. That's soulish. God will not honor that. That's self-seeking, selfish ambition, envy or jealousy. It says when you pray those prayers, it is earthly, soulish, demonic. It's got demon power. It becomes a curse because it has demon power behind it. I had a real hard time with curses. I just had a really hard time with them. And about 15 years ago, I was fasting and praying, and I was trying to understand curses. And I was praying one day, and I had an out-of-body experience. I was in spirit.
And I saw this young child that was standing there, and his father, who was drunk, was standing over him and berating him, saying that you are dumb. I can't say what was said. It was, you know, it colorful, four-letter words. But he called this boy dumb and ignorant and stupid and a number of other things. And while he was doing this, a light, like a laser beam, hit that kid. And I said, what was that? And they said, that was the curse dispensed. That was the demon dispensed to bring the curse to pass. I said, where in the Bible does it say that a father can curse his child? And immediately a verse came to me. And it said, but mother, I am a smooth-skinned man, and my brother Esau is a hairy man. If my father feels me, he will see that I am a deceiver, and I will receive a curse on myself and not a blessing. I said, oh, there is a spiritual precedent for that. People that are in positions of authority, such as a parent, a grandparent, can curse their children. We prayed for a young man up here this morning who had had a grandmother who had berated him and told him he was dumb. And that demon screamed out, dumb, when it came out. His grandmother, and I'm sure this lady never intended to do that. She was raising him the way that she'd been raised and other people had. I mean, I don't think there was a malicious bone in her body. Now, she was, you know, she was just a grandmother. Old, bitter, and angry, and mad, deceived. And that's the way she was raised. That's the way she's raising her children, berating them. Demon came in. Because she spoke the word from a position of authority. And it showed me several other things. It showed me everything that I'm going to teach you tonight. And I wrote it down. I brought it down to Brother Glenn. And I was new, you know. I come down to Brother Glenn and said, Brother Glenn, what do you think about this? He read it and said, I think it's God. I think it's right on, Doc. I think that's God. Yeah. And about 2 weeks later, I noticed I got an advertisement from Brother Derek Prince. And he says, new series on curses. So I ordered his series. And you know, brother, God had given Brother Derek Prince the same revelation. You know, God's no respecter of persons. But Brother Prince, he had it all on tape and printed and sending it out. But I didn't get upset at all. I just said, thank you, Lord.
But there was a day when he didn't believe in persons, told me so personally.
Yeah. But Brother Prince, I had problems with him. But God showed me. Showed Brother Prince. Now, Brother Prince didn't relate to me how. Now, I haven't seen Brother Prince in 10 years now. Praise the Lord Jesus. He still has a worldwide ministry. He was being carried on mostly by his son-in-law and by his staff. His health is not good. And he is writing a book on spiritual warfare right now. Let's go on. I apologize for name dropping. Okay. Soulish prayers. Now, Proverbs 26:2 says a curse. You know, everybody says, my gosh, if somebody can just say something evil, and it means a demon's going to come into me, how do I protect myself? Well, Proverbs 26:2 says a curse causeless cannot light, like a fluttering swallow, like a flying sparrow. A curse causeless cannot light. Now, a good witch doctor will be very careful when he sends out his curses. Because he don't want that curse coming back on him, because that demon hates him as bad as he hates the other man. He just hates the fact that the devil's making him obey him. And so witch doctors and curse casters have to be very careful. And what they will do is they will send out their familiar spirit to read this man. They'll send their familiar spirit out, and he'll talk to the familiar spirit there with them and figure out what the sin in his life is.
Got it. So he'll fashion the curse to fit the sin and the life of the recipient, so it will light. I had a friend who was a missionary in New Guinea for several years. And when he first got there, he'd been there about a year, and God had really moved, and the structure of the village had changed, and half the village had been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the people who previously held power, no longer held power, hired the witch doctor to curse this man, to kill him. And so the witch doctor went out, and he did his thing, and he sent the demon out. And the demon came back to him and said, the witch doctor came to him and told him this. The witch doctor came to him, and he said, I want you to know something. He said, there's some people in this village very upset with you, and they hired me to kill you. And I went out and put out my strongest magic and sent out my strongest demons against you. But they came back and they said, we can't touch him. There's a spirit, he has a stronger spirit protecting him. Now greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And he said, and that spirit's protecting that man. And so he said, I just want to tell you that they're going to continue to pay me. And I'm going to continue to send these curses out because that's the way I make my living. But don't you grieve that spirit that's protecting you. See, this witch doctor just considered him a stronger witch doctor, to tell you the truth. That's all he considered him. He said, don't you grieve that spirit you got protecting you. And he grieved him twice that he got sick. Once he got into an argument with his wife and went to bed mad and pouted for 2 days. And the second day he got sick as a dog. And when he got sick and that night, he thought about it. He went in and made up with his wife. And he got well. About 5 years later, he got into a bitter argument with his elders. And he got stubborn. And pride came in. And he got so sick, he said, he thought he was doing it. When God finally spoke to him and broke the pride and deception in his life, he realized he had to go and ask his elders to forgive him. And when he did that, he got well. And then he came home. And he read this story to me. And what's the purpose of telling you this? The witch doctor sent the spirits out to read him. He didn't put any curses until he found out a place for the curse to light, the sin. He couldn't find any. And so he kept sending them out to read him. Praise the Lord. So a curse causeless cannot light. Now that is in Numbers 23:21-23, the prophet Balak had been hired to curse Israel, and he got up and he says, there is no iniquity that will work against God. God has not observed iniquity in Israel. Therefore, no divination will work against them. There was no place for the curse to light. And so, I'm going to look at four different ways. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to look at four different ways. Praise you, Lord. First, I want to tell you, don't curse the ruler of your nation. I mean, y'all cursed Bill Clinton. You're supposed to pray for him. I can give you Romans 13:1, 1 Peter 2:13, Titus 3:1, Daniel 4:25-32, chapter 2, verse 21, Hebrews 13:17. All those said, pray for those who are in authority over you because they've been raised up by God.
Yes, sir.
Pray for them. Ask God to bring them salvation, to touch them, to protect them because they are His instruments. He's raised up every one of them. Some of the people that I look at in Congress and I say, oh, God bless them. Bring them to salvation, Lord. And I pray for Barney Frank every day. You know who Barney Frank is? Nobody here knows who Barney Frank is. He's a representative in the House. He's an avowed homosexual and always is always pushing the homosexual agenda. And he was the one that they ran, he found that they were running the prostitution ring out of his basement. His lover was. And there's a big stink over it several years ago, but Barney Frank's a very liberal man. From what state do you think he would be from? Massachusetts. He and Edward Kennedy. I pray for he and Edward every day that God will touch them and bring them to salvation. Just touch them. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, pray for people in position of authority over you. All right. Now, First, let's look at Joshua 6:26. Now, this is a God-spoken curse. This was delivered by the prophet of God. It was the word of God delivered by the prophet of God. Joshua 6:26. And here, after the battle of Jericho, Joshua said, Joshua 6, then Joshua charged him at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who raises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up the gates. Now let's look over at 1 Kings 16:34. 1 Kings 16:34. In his days, Hillel, he's talking about Ahab now, Hillel of Bethel built Jericho, I'm sorry. He laid his foundations with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Suppah, he set up the gates, according to the word of the Lord which had been spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. There you have the curse spoken, and 500 years later, you have it fulfilled.
The words were still alive.
It was the word of God for 500 years, and when they rebuilt it, curse as a spoken word, but it was the word of God. Okay. Now, a father can curse his son. I've already spoken to you about that. And that's Genesis 27:10-12, Genesis 31:32, 35:18-19. Those are places where a father curses his son. Okay. What happened in Genesis 35 is an interesting one. Let's read that. It's not a father cursing his son, it's a man cursing his wife. Look at Genesis 35:18. For as her soul was departing, for she died, she called his name Benoni, and his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died, and he was buried. Well, where's that curse come out? Let's look back at Genesis 31:32. Now, the story here is that Jacob's father-in-law is caught up with him. And he chastises him for running off and not letting him see the girls and not letting him see the... He says, I can forgive you for that, but why'd you steal my gods? He said, I take your gods. Yes, you did. He said, well, you search the camp, and if you can find them, the person who's got them will die. And Rachel had them, and so she put them in her saddlebags and sat down on top of it. And when her father came, when laboring came into the tent, she said, Father, I'm having my period. Forgive me for not rising when you come in. I'm having my period. I don't feel good. That's what the Bible says. And so, she had the gods. And what happened? A year later, she dies. In childbirth, she died. Some folks will say death was common in childbirth. It was. Okay. Now, a priest can curse his people. Or a pastor can curse his flock. He is a man raised up by God. Position of authority, and that is shown here in the curse of jealousy in Numbers chapter 5. And it's, you need to read the whole thing, but we'll look at verse 18. It said, the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, put the offering for remembrance in her hand, which is a grain offering of jealousy, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings the curse. And the priest shall put the woman under oath and goes forth and says, if you hadn't been unfaithful, nothing's going to happen to you. But if you drink it and you've been unfaithful, your belly's going to swell and your thigh's going to rot. And if she were guilty, if there was a place for that curse to light, if she had been unfaithful and there was a place for that curse to light, her thigh, her belly would swell and her thigh would rot and she'd die. There it is. It's Numbers chapter 5. Verses 18 and 19. You need to read the whole chapter. But starting with verse 11, actually. Now, the priest can also bless the people. Let's look in Numbers chapter 6. Turn over. And starting with verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. How many of y'all ever heard that before? I heard it every day in the Episcopal Church. I didn't know where it came from, but I always thought it sounded good. The old Cramden prayer book was entirely scripture. All right. Now let's look in Judges chapter 9. When you've been wronged, you can curse. But God says don't do that in the New Testament. New Testament Christians don't curse. But the story here is that Jeroboam, or Gibeon, had been the judge of Israel for a number of years. And he had a whole bunch of kids. 75, I think. How many of them did he have here? He had a whole mess of them. And he, 70 sons killed. He had 71, 72 sons. 71 legitimate, one illegitimate by a prostitute in Shechem. And his name was Abimelech. And so Abimelech got all the men of Shechem and Milo together and said, you'd rather have me judge over you or them folks you don't know. And so they went out and killed all the sons of Jeroboam except one. The youngest one got away. And so they crowned Abimelech king. And this younger brother, he got up on the hill. His name was Johan. And he pronounced this long curse, which started with verse 16. Now, therefore, if you've acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and you have dealt with the house of Jeroboam and his house, as done with him as he deserves. He said, but, verse 20, if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth-El, and let fire come out of the men of Shechem and Beth-El devour Abimelech. And he ran away. And go down to verse 23. And God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now that spirit of ill will there is an evil angel. He said, I can give you other verses where it says he sent forth an evil angel. It's an evil angel. Sent to bring that curse to pass. Now, modern, but in the New Testament, God says you don't do that anymore. You pray for them. You don't curse. And the last one is a soulish prayer. Now, we've looked at James 3, 13 to 16, and it's soulish prayers. Now, a parent can curse their children through soulish prayers when you try to manipulate your children and bend them to your will. Now, this is done, older parents can try to bend their children to their will by dangling money in front of them, dangling guilt in front of them, manipulating back and forth circumstances. And that is witchcraft. And it's done by soulish prayers. They're charismatic witches in the churches. I remember going to this prayer meeting, this woman saying, God, punish the guilty one. And then she named somebody. Oh, God, I wish you. God, I didn't know any better, but I tell you, it didn't make me feel good. I got up and left. Man, my spirit turned upside down, and this lady was just, everybody was saying amen, amen. This woman had stolen somebody else's, one of the women's husbands, and she'd stole them and run off. They'd run off, you know, and she was cursing both of them. Punish the guilty one. That's, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I mean, when you start praying for vengeance, I mean, you put yourself under a curse because you're stealing from God. God says, vengeance is mine. I own vengeance. When you start taking vengeance on yourself, you're stealing from me. You want to be a thief for God? God said he sent the scroll out. In Zechariah, the scroll was 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. And on it was the name of everybody who had lied deceitfully in his name and every thief. And he would enter into the house. That's the family of the thief and destroy it. Now you want the curse of God on you. Come in the scroll coming into your house. No. So you don't steal from God. If you don't pay your tithe, you be a thief. You don't make your offerings, you be a thief. God said in Malachi, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Two robberies, tithes, offerings. Now, what are offerings? That's what God calls you to give. He speaks to your spirit and says, meet that need over there as an offering before me. You want to give a peace offering? What's a peace offering? That's something you just want to give because God's been good to you. God said you can spend on anything you want to. That's what the Bible says. You can spend it on what pleases you. What they did was they bought something and went down to the temple and had a big feast, invited all their friends to come eat the peace offering. It was an offering made to God because of God's graciousness and goodness to them. A tithe was something that went to the temple. You also made offerings that were prescribed offerings for the poor and for the widow and for the homeless. And says, if a homeless man comes to you, a poor brother comes to you and says, I have need. And you look at him and you say, well, the year of release is next year. And if I lend him this money and he don't pay me back for next year, I have to forgive it, you know. And you, pardon your eye be evil towards your poor brother. Your eye be evil and you shut your hand and give him nothing. He will cry out to God and God will say it is sin to you. So, don't always hear the, he says, but now God says if you're not able, he won't require you to give something you haven't got. But always hear the cry of the poor. I see physicians who won't see welfare patients. Because welfare costs you money to see welfare patients. Every time I see a welfare patient, it costs me $5. $10. Cash out of my pocket. That's what it costs. I've never turned one away. Now, my partners tell me now that they won't let me see more than 30% of my practice be welfare. And that's the rule of the partnership. I used to not turn nobody down. But the medicine's changed. But I tell you, those people who won't see welfare, they'll answer to God.
Yes, sir.
They'll answer to God, one way or another. And so, wife and husband, wife to a husband, husband to a wife, boss to his employees. Anytime you pray things to try to control somebody else, you're into curses. Okay. Anytime you speak evil, then there's the professional witch. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 13. People said, show me where it says something about a witch. Well, here we go. Chapter 13, verse 17. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of the people who prophesy of their own heart, prophesy against them. Thus says the Lord God, woe to women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the head of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? Will you profane me among my people for a handful of barley and pieces of bread, killing people who should not die? And keeping people alive who should not live by lying to my people who live. What are they saying there? They're killing people, causing people to die, and they're healing folks. You know you can get healed by a witch? You can go to a Christian Science practitioner and get healed? You can. But you'll never be able to stand in faith again. Because when you deal, and the first thing is that when you go to the devil's workshop, go up to deal with the devil. Now remember that they're getting their power from the devil. And you go up to the counter. The devil don't ever trade down. He always trades up. You got migraine headaches? Fine, he'll take your migraine headaches. Give you a heart attack, a stroke, a diabetes, or arthritis, or something going to cause you a lot of pain, or cancer. He'll give you something. But you think you've been healed for 4 or 5 years till this other demon has set itself in there and suddenly you're sick again. I mean, in the third world, any elder in the church, any Christian who goes to the witch doctor for healing, if he gets a healing from the witch doctor, he's never able to stand in faith again. It's difficult. I had a friend specialized in this area, and he said that he had some people who had been healed of arthritis by the Christian Science practitioner, and he could not get them saved. And he finally had them renounce the healing and renounce the demon that came in for that gave them the healing. He was able to get them saved. And then God healed them. But he said this lady had arthritis and he could see her hands beginning to turn like this and get gnarled as she renounced that demon and renounced that healing. When she accepted the Lord, but she had to have the faith to renounce the healing. Not many people renounce the healing. But praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, you know, my mother used to have little birdies. And you know, I could never do anything in town that Mother didn't know about. I mean, I would come in, you know, and Mother would say, Billy, is something you want to tell me? And you say, oh, Lord, what has she heard? And so you try to fish around and figure out what she's heard, you know. Because you don't want to confess to the wrong thing. I did that once. I fessed up and she said, well, I didn't know about that, Billy. I'm thinking about something else. My little birdie told me. And so from then on, I played dumb. But she had these little birdies. And of course, her birdies were her little old ladies all over town who was watching. Nobody did anything without in that little town without the little birdies watching. But I didn't know it was in the Bible. I didn't know. Let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Okay. It's a very simple verse here. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Do not curse the king even in your thought. Okay. That means don't curse somebody God has raised up even in your thought. Why? Because God knows your thoughts. You know, God knows your thoughts. The devil doesn't know your thoughts. The devil won't know it until you speak it out. He can't read your mind. Somebody said, give me scripture for that. All righty, let's look at Kings. It's 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. It's Solomon's high priestly prayer at the dedication of the temple. And verse 39 says, you hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give those everything according to his ways whose hearts you know. For you and only you know the hearts of all the sons of men. Chronicles 6:38 is a companion verse to that. For the devil to know it, you got to say it. Now, you all know the story of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that disturbed him. Y'all all remember that?
Yes.
He called all his wise men and soothsayers and all his witch doctors, and he said to them, I want you to tell me what this dream means. They said, well, fine, tell us the dream. He said, no, you tell me what I dreamed. And they said, nobody but the gods in heaven can do that. He said, well, if you don't tell me, I'm going to kill every one of you. They said, no king has ever done this and thing like this to the witch doctors. He says, only the gods in heaven, and they don't live in here, down here on earth. He says, all right, kill them. And so they were going out, and they asked Daniel. He said, and Daniel said, why the old king give such a strict order? And so he told him. He said, well, wait a minute. Now, let me go talk to God. Let me ask God. And so he went. God showed him that night. He came back, and he witness to the king what his dream was. Now, if the devil could have read Nebuchadnezzar's mind, he would have told his servants what that dream meant, what that dream was. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't tell anybody. And that was the reason. Tell us, and then we can tell you. And so the devil can't read your mind. He can't read your mind. Be wise what you speak. If you dream something, don't go blab it to everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, that's you. You know what I witnessed on my night bed. If that's of you, Lord, wonderful, bring it to pass. But if it's not of you, it's of the enemy, I bind that thing in the name of Jesus and command it to be gone in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You run out and tell everybody. And folks are going to pray for it to come pass for you. It may be from the enemy. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Don't curse the king, even in your thought. Pray for him. Don't curse the rich, even in your bedroom. That means you've got to speak it out. You're in your bedroom and you're talking about it. You're cursing. Cursing means evil speaking. And I'll show you that in Scripture, too. Evil speaking means to curse. Don't curse. Don't speak evil of the rich, even in your bedroom. For the bird of the air will carry your voice. The bird in flight will tell the matter. Now that scripture there, bird, is not a little chirping thing with two wings. It's a flying thing. It's the same thing spoken of in Ezekiel 13, where the witches are trying to trap souls like flying things, like demons. In other words, it's a familiar spirit that will hear that, and he will go in flight and tell the matter. Now, the Holy Spirit can do that. He did that with Elijah. The king of Aaron said, which one of you men are against me? Because every time we make plans in this room, somebody's telling the king of Israel. He said, well, God's got this prophet down there and knows everything you say in your bedroom. Because he's got the Holy Spirit. He's telling him. And so he went to get Elijah. Y'all all familiar with that story? Huh? Everybody here knows that story? And he opened the eyes of his servant so he could see the mountain of chariots of fire that was surrounding them. Okay. Praise God. The interesting part of that is it struck them all with blindness, carried them in, fed them a good feast, and sent them home. Didn't kill any of them. That whole army. Carried them to Jerusalem, fed them a feast, gave them a banquet, and sent them home. The king of Aaron was so convicted and scared, he never came back. Praise God. And I've told you that out of your mouth should not come curses. But what should come out of your mouth? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Look at verse 15 and 16. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace of God in your heart. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God through Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. There's a lot more in here about don't curse and don't tell dirty jokes, but y'all know all that. Might have to remind you. He says, verse 31, chapter 10, verse 31, whatever you do in eat or drink, or whatever you do, therefore, whenever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or Greeks or the church of God. And so that's what you're supposed to do with your mouth. Now, what I do is I've memorized about 20 old hymns or 15 old hymns of the church that I learned when I was a child. They're old anointed hymns by Wesley, you know, like Luther, like Mighty Fortress Is Our God, The Church Has One Foundation in Jesus Christ Our Lord, Amazing Grace, Battle Hymn of the Republic, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And that's what comes out of my mouth. I just sing those all the time. I just walk down the hall to the hospital and I'm just singing away and humming, and I just hum and praise God all the time. I don't let my mind wander. I don't let my mind wander on evil things. I don't live in air castles where I think that I relive my life, the mistakes I've made, if I'd only done it this way, you know. If I had just bought Walmart when they told me to, I'd be a millionaire today. My nurse quit, and her husband quit his job and took a job being a manager at Walmart in 1978. And he called me and said, Doc, no, you need to buy stock in this thing. This is the fastest growing corporation in the world to make you rich. You need to put some of it in your retirement fund. I was busy thinking and hung up, and I didn't say any more about it. Now, if I'd done that, I would be rich today. But I don't want to be rich. I don't care about being rich. But you can sit and dwell on things like that. Everybody can dwell on what might have been. The saddest tongue, words of tongue and pen is might have been. That's Henry Walker Longfellow. It's not the Bible. We wrote a sequel to it one day, and we said, the saddest tongue, words of tongue and pen, it shouldn't ought to have been. Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, people, I'm going to quit here. I can talk on for another 2 hours about what you should be saying. But I tell you that you need to put a melody in your heart. Sing before God. Just sing and praise Him and bless Him and be grateful. For it's with a grateful heart. God loves a cheerful giver and a grateful heart. It says, rejoice in tribulation. I had a lady call me. And she was crying and whining and upset because in her job, she had been called up, and the supervisor had just passed the blame on to her, and had just said she had done what was right, and the supervisor was catching gat for it, and he just heaped it on her, and she called me, and she was weeping, and she was crying, and I said, well. And I was praying for, and God gave me a verse. It is 1 Peter 2:19. Let's see what 1 Peter 2:19 says. He said, for it is commendable if because of conscience toward one, towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongly. That's commendable before God. For what credit have you if you are beaten for your faults and take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. For to this you were called. You called to that, to suffer. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Glory
to you. And so, when you're accused wrongly, praise God.
Yes.
Praise Him. Be grateful. Be grateful for tribulation. It brings patience and endurance. And endurance brings forth hope, because the love of God has been poured out in your heart. You have hope. What is hope? Firm expectation of good in the future.
Yes.
You mean tell me when I'm picked on for doing the right thing and wrongly persecuted, I'm supposed to be grateful to God? Yes, because this gives you hope when you can stand the test, and you have hope because the love of God has been poured out in your heart. For God's love has been poured out in your heart. You say, God, give me more love for Him. Give me more love. Give me more love. Let me love them. And the strokes won't hurt. The strokes won't matter. I will not answer them. I will not let defilement come out of my mouth. In the name of Jesus. All God's folks said amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all have been sitting about an hour, so I want you to stand up now. We're going to have a little prayer session. Anybody needs to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. We got 5 minutes. I want to get a drink of water. But I want you to stand up, move around. It said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. And I want you to all get the blood circulating out of your feet back up to your brain. And we're going to start again at 4:45. Don't mean you go out the door and run off now. The best part's to come. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Let's all stand up. We'll lead you in a prayer now. Say,
dear Lord,
I believe
that
Jesus Christ
of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He was manifested
in the flesh.
He died on the cross
for my sin.
He was raised from the dead
for my justification.
He ascended into heaven.
Sits on the right hand of the Father.
Ever to make intercession for me.
God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I am a member of the family of God.
I have been accepted in the Beloved.
I am a child of God.
And join heir with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
I repent
and confess
the sins of my ancestors.
I ask forgiveness
for them
and my sin
under the blood of Jesus.
that the curses might be broken. Oh, me and my children forever. In the name of Jesus, I break any curses spoken against me from any source. In the name of Jesus. Your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, I shall refute or refuse. In the name of Jesus. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I do hereby refute all evil curses, all soulish prayers. In the name of Jesus, I counsel them, declare them to no effect. In the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, I repent of any curses that I've inflicted on myself. I ask forgiveness for defiling your temple under the blood of Jesus. I ask that the curses be broken in Jesus' name. Galatians 3:13 says, that Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have resentment against certain people. Lord, I ask you to help me forgive them. I turn to you. Your word says, vengeance is yours. Lord, I don't want vengeance. I want forgiveness, which is yours also. Forgiveness means that I want no repayment. Those who've hurt me, I don't want them repaid. I want them blessed to come to salvation. In Jesus' name. I break all ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever hurt me, who's ever wounded me, controlled me in any way, contrary to the will of God. Anyone I've ever had sex with outside of matrimony. Anyone I've ever lusted after outside of matrimony. I confess this is sin. I break the curse. And I break all the ungodly soul ties. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, just wait a minute now. Lord Jesus, if anyone has got anything that you want them to bring to mind, Lord, that they should name that person and forgive them, bring it to their mind now. Well, just wait a minute. If it brings anybody's to name, you say it very quietly under your breath, I forgive Johnny, Joe, Sue, Mom, Granddaddy, whatever it is, any name that comes to mind. I forgive these people. Say, I forgive these people. In Jesus' name. I ask you to bless them. And bring them to salvation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, just let your spirit flow down on them now, Lord. I just break all the curses that have ever been spoken against them now. I break all the evil soul ties, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless them now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of rejection, which is the heritage
which is their heritage in the Adamic race. I break that heritage now. It's come down through the sins of the fathers of rejection and rebellion in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break that curse in the name of Jesus. Now release adoption into them in Jesus' name. Now rejection, I bind you. I bind you and I break your power. These are not rejected children. These are children of the living God. Rejection, you've got no right in these people. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave them now. What out rejection? Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by boss, rejection by wife, rejection by children. Come on out. All rejection. Just let it go, people. Let it go. It comes out as a yawn. It comes out as a cough. It comes out of your ears. Just let it go now. Take a deep breath and let it go. Don't hold it back. Don't worry about what your neighbor's going to say. They're not worried about yours. They want to get rid of theirs. You get rid of yours. In the name of Jesus, you're worried about your dignity. You get your dignity back. Let your demons go. In the name of Jesus, I bind rejection, fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough. Everybody can sit down now. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being good enough. Fear. Fear all around. Fear of being rejected. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. I just bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. Fear of being divorced. Come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of being raped. Fear of war. Fear of the dark. Fear all around. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. Fear. Leave, because fear has torment. Come out, fear. The perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out all fear. Fear, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, fear, fear. Come out, fear. I bind the spirits of fear and fantasy. Come out. I bind the spirits of fear and fantasy and lust. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. The lust of the eye and the lust of flesh and the pride of life. I break your power and I say, come out now. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, fear. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, fantasy. Come out in the name of Jesus. Escape from fear through fantasy. Escapism. I bind the spirit of escapism. Come out. Come on out. Escapism. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fantasy, lust. Come out. Insecurity. Come out. Fear, insecurity. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. I bind the spirits of perfectionism in the name of Jesus Christ. Gonna get it right. They can't criticize me because I'm gonna be perfect. I bind the spirits of perfection, of being perfect, of critical spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. If I'm perfect, I can criticize everybody else. Come out, fear of being perfect. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All perfectionism, nitpicking spirits. Come out. Nitpicking spirits, critical spirits, angry spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. We bind you and we break your power. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. Accusation spirits, spirits of accusing spirits, come out. Self-accusing spirits, spirits of self-accusation, come out. False burdens spirits. Take all worry about somebody else's problems. I won't have to worry about mine. False spirits, false burden spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All the false burden spirits. Meddling spirits, come out. Tail-bearing spirits. Come out. I can talk about other people, but I don't talk about myself. Think about myself. Come out, gossiping spirits, tail-bearing spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. Come on out. I bind the spirits of depression now. Of depression. God didn't give us spirit of depression. He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I bind the spirit of heaviness. I bind hopelessness. I bind ashes. I bind ugly. Ugly, I bind you. Come on out, ugly. Ugly, I know you're there. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, ugly. She was told she was ugly. Come out, ugly, in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people. Come out, ugly. All the ugly spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Ugly spirits, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. You can't torment God's people anymore. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of rebellion now. Rebellion spirits. I bind the spirit of rebellion. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And idolatry is an iniquity. Come out. Come out, stubbornness, stubborn, idolatry, stubbornness, rebellion, witchcraft,
bitterness come out. I pull out the root of bitterness, the deep hurt spirit. I pull out the spirit of deep hurt. Come out, deep hurt. Come out, you can't say that. I bind that spirit of deep hurt, of the wounded heart. I pull out the hairs of the wounded heart in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.